Columbia Workshop presents program number 25 of 26 by Corwin, A Man with a Platform, a new thingamabob for radio, written and directed by Norman Corwin, and starring Bud Hulick in the title role, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lynn Murray.
Wait a minute. Come here, Harry.
What's the matter?
What was that opening announcement again?
Why, Columbia Workshop presents program number 25 of 26 by Corwin.
That's more like it.
More like what?
That's more like the way people should behave in a civilized world. Why do you have to shout? People aren't deaf. If they are, they wear acoustical attachments. You don't have to shout.
You got the wrong idea. I know. Look, what you need in this stuff is punch.
Punch?
Yeah, that's how I got my job here.
Punch. Look. Wait a minute, Harry. Hold it.
Across.
Suppose all programs opened up with a punch. Listeners all over the country would be punch drunk in no time. That explains a lot of things, too, come to think of it.
But look, after all...
Just step over there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a man with a platform. I think things should be done about things. The world's too full of stuff that is never dreamed of in your philosophy. If you've got a philosophy. If you haven't, don't you think it's about time you had? You a grown boy. Listening to the Columbia Workshop. To radio's leading experimental theater of the air, and you haven't got a philosophy. Shame on you. You should duck your head in a bucket of Plato. Friends, no kidding. Things have got to be changed right from the beginning, from infancy, from the crib, from the bib. Now, the first plank in my platform concerns a new start in life for people, just starting out in life. Babies are people. They're created equal. And that means that their elders ought not to treat them as though they belong to a lesser species. Look, have you ever made notes on the way adults talk to babies? Have you ever stood next to women or even fully developed men while they were holding converse with infants? Have you ever taken a shorthand transcript of the proceedings? You try it sometime. In fact, try it now.
A goo, a boo, a moo.
Now let's analyze this thing. The baby who cannot be expected to know from nothing and is willing to admit as much listens carefully to everything that is said. He assumes that adults must know what they're talking about because they've been around longer than he has. It is they, he is aware, who magically produce milk and swyback out of nowhere. And accordingly, he figures they're not to be dismissed lightly. However silly their speech may sound and whatever they may say. But what is it they say?
A goo, a boo, a moo.
I contend this sort of thing is subversive. It undermines the confidence of our youth. Because sooner or later, that kid is going to find out that a goo, a boo, and a moo have no application to anything tangible. And he'll realize with a sense of bitter disillusionment that he's merely being kidded. Now look, if adults find it necessary to talk down to babies, then the least they can do is make sounds applicable to everyday life. I'd be even willing to accept this kind of talk.
A boom, a biff, a bang.
Well, that at least would prepare the child for what he can expect later on. When the little tad grows up and he hears his first bomb drop, he'll say, why, that's the a boom that Mater was talking about. And he'll be inspired with confidence and trust in the world of his elders. Goodness sakes. Oh, yes, let's see. Section 1A of the same plank in my platform concerns the matter of lullabies. The rockabye baby type of lullaby sung by the solo voice of the mother. That's obsolete now. The tempo of child life has accelerated to such a degree that it now takes a Castellanos arrangement of a lullaby to get the kid even slightly drowsy. And the lyrics of lullabies are also badly in need of reform. No modern child who reads in the evening papers that Superman has swum the Atlantic nonstop, except for the minor incident of smashing his fist through the hull of an enemy submarine, no such child, we say, is going to be taken in by a rockabye baby. This is a new age. These are stirring times. Youth is on the march. The Lone Ranger is on the range. In view of these altered circumstances, we have composed a lullaby for a modern child. And it will be sung in exemplary fashion, not by the mother unassisted, but by three other members of her bridge club as well. Obviously, it's much better to put a child to sleep that way than with drugs. I don't believe in giving a youngster opium. Too many parents appease their offspring by saying,
open your mouth and shut your eyes and see what I will give you.
Nor do I believe in beating the child into insensibility, much as he deserves it. You tire yourself out doing that, and besides, it's risky. First thing you know, he'll come to expect a licking every night. And there may be nights when you're not up to it. Well, very well. So much for child psychology. Say, look, Murray, can I have a little musical punctuation here, or do I have to carry the whole show myself? This brings me, by a secret process of logic, to the subject of education. Now, there's something that's gotten completely out of hand. Education. The same old routine, reading, writing, and arithmetic. An obsolete system, archaic, passé. They haven't even got any innovations. Just trains children to be mediocre. Now, I propose a model school for junior executives to be known as the Workshop Prep, or the Eastside Downtown Professional School of Rugged Individualism and Fox and Hounds Academy. Take them young, well, say at 9 or 10, and drill it into them. And then when a lad matriculates at ESDPSRIFHA, he's in for a dynamic career. No time wasted with non-essentials. Why, the little shaver couldn't help growing up to be an industrial magnat or a district attorney or a sponsor of a cereal program. First place, we wouldn't corral the kids in an assembly hall the first day of school. No, sir. We'd gather them around a director's table, pass out cigars, light up, crack a few jokes, and then get down to business. The Prexy would start things off with a song to be joined in by the chorus of the faculty.
Sit down, fellas, take a load off your feet. Will you mix it with soda or drink the stuff neat? We're gonna teach you, students, lots and lots about how to grow up to be big shots.
Rackety-racks, coax, coax, rackety-racks, you're in. Rackety-racks, rackety-racks, you're in. Context, rickety-ricks, and
rockety-rocks,
securities, and common stocks.
Sit down, fellas, lean way back in your chair. We ain't the kind of faculty to split a hair. We're gonna teach you students lots and lots about how to grow up to be a big shot.
Rackety-racks, coax, coax, facts and figures and figures and facts. Rackety-racks, coax, your Gable, Lana Turner. Kisses, Gable.
Sit down, fellas, take a load off your feet. Will you mix it with soda or drink the stuff neat?
We're gonna teach you, students, lots and lots about how to grow up to be bigger and better, to be big stars.
Of course, no pupil would call another by his first name. Mm-mm. They'd call each other J.B. or G.W.H. and R.S., whatever their initials might be. And there'd be no time lost getting right down to hard work on the curriculum. For example, let's see now. There's the advanced writing class. We would hire an expert for this course whose name would undoubtedly be Prescott Conant Hutchins III. His opening lecture would be...
Gentlemen, as you get along in life and rise to positions of affluence, you'll have more and more important things to say, and will need more and more help in saying them. Therefore, you will hire ghostwriters. And since you'll eventually have statements and articles written for you, you might as well start in having them written for you now. Directly following cocktails, you will be introduced to the ghostwriters assigned to you for this term. Your ghostwriter's homework for tonight will be to prepare a 1,000-word essay on the subject, Playing the Game Clean.
Nothing would be too good for the boys at workshop prep, so we'd also have a class in reading, listed in the catalog as English 41. Let's see, this would be under the tutelage of Miss Frank, Miss Fragrance Depew, imported, whose semester would begin in the following manner.
Boys, every generation in the history of civilization has contributed writing of some sort or other to what is loosely known as culture. Culture. Get it? This means the world is practically filthy with all kinds of literature. There's too much to read. Therefore, in order to find time to play the horses, as you will learn to do in Dr. Throg's course, Parry Mutual 67... we will naturally have to condense our studies. You will read short synopses of Shakespeare's plays and one-line descriptions of great poems. You will also get complete digests of novels and a box score and breakdown of the world's most famous essays. These will come in handy little folders which may be carried conveniently inside your racing forms. That is all for now.
Thank you. The geography course would be another innovation. Professor Carrington Timkins, who's been around, would start things rolling with a keynote lecture. Wouldn't you, Professor? You certainly would. I knew you would come right in,
geography
Professor.
Geography is okay for them as likes it. It is studied on maps a good deal of the time, and if things was even Stephen, I'd have some maps here this morning so as we could begin studying it. But maps is being changed so fast nowadays, there's no point in going out on a limb and studying it. Now is your fellers. Class dismissed till further notice.
Thank you. You should have taken a shortcut. Our music class would be up to date, naturally, and abreast of the times. Miss Mary Lou Susabel Betty Mae Brown would teach those junior executives a thing or two.
Yes. Now, Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, as y'all know, comes from Disney's Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Tchaikovsky's And Dante Cantabile comes from Moon Love. And Gilbert and Sullivan comes from The Hot Mikado. Now, for our next study of classical composition, the entire class should cover the new Super Pictures release at the Bijou Theater, The Life of Paul Muni, starring Tyrone Power as Don Amici.
Our language department would be headed by Travis Berenberg, the Alaskan linguist and speech expert, who can tell by listening to a man's pronunciation just where he should go and stay there. Dr. Berenberg, who would naturally be an authority on Eskimo dialects, would cite the famous example of the meeting between two Eskimos from the North and South Poles.
Klaus, I shall now cite the famous example of the meeting between two Eskimos from the North and South Poles. The one from the North Pole said, get this closely now, glug, 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 glug. How's that? Yes, you may take notes. Whereupon the one from the South Pole replied, now note the changes here, the inflection, glug, 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 you all. That last is a very important change there. The class will please turn in proper paper, by the way, next Wednesday on the difference between the speech characteristic of the Northern and Southern Polar Eskimos, as demonstrated by the example I just gave you. All right. You may go now.
But the pride and joy of our curriculum would be History 77, presided over by the famed chronologist Dr. William Taylor, known affectionately among his students as just plain Chronicle Bill the Taylor. This course would not consist of mere dates and data, but of dissa and data, dished up in a tempting way and sung by the members of the department under the baton of Chronicle Bill himself.
Now Pharaoh, he was a mighty king with a heart of a low-down knave. He thought it a screamingly funny thing to torture to death a slave. Now Philip, he was a mighty man who took many pains and labors and worked out a very ingenious plan to conquer all his neighbors.
He won by force, won by force, he won by force and lies. But he got his, yeah, he got his between the eyes.
Now Caesar was a tough old dog with a soul as hard as flint, and he made his wonderful legion slog up and down the continent.
And Caesar's world, his world bowed down before him. But he got his, yeah, he got his, Roman Forum.
Now Napoleon, he was another whack with a passion for conquest. He stood with a hand behind his back and another in his vest.
He knew what to do, knew just what to do, the strategic thing to do. But he got his, yeah, he got his at Waterloo. Woo, woo, huh. He got his at Waterloo.
Well, so much for the faculty and curriculum of the East Side Downtown Professional School of Rugged Individualism and Fox and Hounds Academy. But that's only one of the educational boons I have stuck away in a dry place. Another boon would be the establishment of Workshop Polytech. Now, this university, in spite of its imposing name, would not have any faculty or curriculum, but would exist solely for the purpose of awarding degrees. For this purpose, it would rent a hall once a year and get a swing band to pep things up. Also, it would hire some pippy-looking girls to be ushers. Ha! Workshop Polytech is no fool. But look, no degrees to the usual degree-getters. Uh-uh, not on your life. No LLDs to pillars of the community just because they happen to have endowed a new gymnasium or bought the university library a 10-year subscription to Newsweek. Phooey.